Hello, namaste, adab. Today is the 5th episode and we have come to Madhu Sir's home, Madhu Mahankali, a very well-known cinematographer in Hyderabad. Namaste, Madhu Sir. Kaise hain aap? How are you?
I'm fine.
We disturbed you on a Sunday, right?
Not really. Because there's always like Shab, anything but Shab.
So... Sir, you have been in Hyderabad all throughout, or you are born and brought up in Hyderabad?
No, actually I am from a place called Rajahmundry. Mm-hmm. I have done my schooling and college till plus two in Rajahmundry only. Mm-hmm. Then I went to this institute called NID in Ahmedabad. Mm-hmm. That is National Institute of Design. Yes. And I was there for about 2 years and then I moved to Pune Film Institute. Mm-hmm. So that's how the journey.
So, what made you move to Pune Film Institute?
Actually, at NID, we always had this photography course also as part of the design course. Basically, a design course. So, I was doing exhibition design. And so, it had other disciplines like graphic design, textile design, all those other disciplines also. But photography being a visual medium, it is part of the curriculum there. And apart from that, we always had professors from Pune come to Ahmedabad and then conduct some workshops, film appreciation courses and all that. So, my interest in photography and films grew quite a lot. And there were some seniors who always kind of moved from Ahmedabad to Pune.
Mm-hmm.
So, that those examples also were there. So, then I applied for FTI Pune and got in.
And you studied cinematography?
Yes, I studied cinematography for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I passed out in way back in about 1986 when I passed out in Pune. So, after that, of course, I have done my first film in about 88, in about 2 years. 2 years, of course, one had to get into the industry and I have worked with some Mr. P.C. Sriram, who was working with Maniratnam, the director, on Icon and those movies. I was with him for some time. And then I was also doing my own short films and documentaries. And eventually I got this break in an Assamese film. That is in 88. Because one of my classmates from Pune Film Institute, he was in direction. He's an Assam person. So when he got a break from the film industry there, he called me for to do the DOP work. So, I went there for the first film and then of course eventually I had almost done about 4 films there in about 1.5 years time. And again, almost in about 90, I did my first film in Telugu.
What was the film?
That was called Yugala Geetam. It was a Telugu film. And then of course I had done other movies, mostly in Telugu and a few in Hindi. Like Gautam Buddha and those movies I had done in Hindi. So, initially, even when I was working as a DOP, I had started this production house way back in 1912. So, that production house for making corporate films, documentaries, ad films.
Which production house, sir?
This is the media.
Mm-hmm.
Though it is formally now, later, moved into a private limited company. Initially, it was a proprietary concern. So, that started way back in 1912. Then, of course, we made it into a private limited company in 2013.
So, by that time you had shifted to Hyderabad from Rajahmundry.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, the initial period only I was in Chennai for some time.
Oh.
And then of course where I was doing the assignments, I was mostly in Guwahati, shuttling between Guwahati and either Chennai or Hyderabad.
No Bengali film because I am Bengali.
Bengali I didn't do, but obviously one has to pass through Calcutta whenever you have to go to Guwahati.
Yeah.
So, but I know a lot of Bengalis who are in Guwahati. In fact, that first feature film after I did my friend, that director is also a Bengali, Mudul Gupta. Of course, a lot of Bengalis settled in Assam. So, I did my one of the first kind of commercial films with him. And then, 2 more films in Assam and then I moved to the Telugu film industry. Since then, I was in Hyderabad, say 1991. So, more of a Hyderabadi than anybody else.
So how is the journey in Telugu film?
I was not totally into the film industry alone, to be frank. So even when I was doing these films as DOP, because I was also interested in direction. Because in Pune Film Institute, we had this common course. Though it's a 3 years course, we always had the common inputs in the first 1.5 years. Whether it is direction, editing, sound, photography, everything. And then later, of course, one moves to your specialization in the second 1.5 years time. So we had inputs of direction and other things. So I was always interested. So that journey when I was doing basically Telugu film, I was also very keenly observing the directors, and I used to get involved in the in terms of the script and working with the director beforehand. Especially in Assamese films, it was like we used to work very closely together, the director and myself, the pre-production work, before we get on to the movies. So that practice, of course, continued. Of course, Telugu films are more commercial oriented in that sense. So obviously, there is a lot of star system, and directors also have to follow what the stars want. No? So there is not much of a freedom in that sense. But still, the kind of films that I had done were not typical commercial films, but they had mix of both.
Sir, I wanted to ask, like cinematography, you are a cinematographer. What is the difference between a cinematographer and a DOP?
No, it's actually the same.
Then why do we call a DOP?
No, because in Hollywood, they have started calling the director of photography. The cinematography came from photography. So obviously, photography is to say that it's the mother of cinematography in that sense. The moving picture came later. So initially, it was photography which was all over developed, and then people started experimenting with moving images, and then moved to cinematography as such. So that term director of photography got fixed, especially in Hollywood films. Otherwise, in Europe and other places, they call it as cinematographer.
Yeah.
They don't use that DOP. So we mostly follow the Hollywood system most of the time in India. So the DOP can kind of continue. But now, of course, they use all kinds of terms. Cinematographer, DOP, everything is the same. Even in the Telugu, Hindi film industry. Even within the industries also there is some difference. Telugu industry, there is a different terminology as far as
what is it?
Because here, for director, the first assistant to the director is called co-director here. Whereas in Hindi films, co-director is somebody who is also directing the film along with the director. If there are two, like Raj and DK or some two directors, then they are called as co-directors. Whereas in Telugu, that co-director is the one who does the scheduling and production planning, that's all. So there are some changes. There, of course, it's the main chief associate director who is the main assistant to the director. So, apart from that, of course, mostly they are following the same system. And as far as, of course, scripting and other things are concerned, also there is some differences. Because they have got into more of storyboarding and doing, using softwares for developing final draft, and a lot of softwares which are available now for making a script. So Hindi films have moved on. So Telugu, of course, still there is the traditional system which is followed. Of course, the new directors are getting into all this. But mostly it is a mix of all these systems, whether it is Hollywood or Hindi, things like that.
So to become a successful DOP or a cinematographer, or a creative person, what are the skills do you think is essential? What skill will set you apart from the rest?
See, first thing is observation. Observation of people around and lifestyle, different images, visuals, what is happening around you. That is the most important actually. So once you develop this bit of observation technique, then, of course, how do you visualize a certain scene? How do you visualize and actually bring it to the screen? So that is where the cinematographer's work comes in. So director may have written something in the script, but how do you bring it to the screen? in terms of his vision, whatever he had. So that is when you have to start working seriously. So anybody with a good observatory skills, you know, first of all, good eye. Basically, that's what we mean by developing the eye. Whether you observe the composition, framing, color, all these aspects are most important for cinematography. And then, of course, the lighting. Whether you observe the natural light, how the natural light functions throughout the day, and also the artificial light. Because once you are really good at observing the natural light, then obviously the natural light is the one which is helping the artificial light schemes also. So you will decide a certain light scheme and then follow that. Otherwise, sun is our main source for all the work. So basically, you observe how sunlight, you know, works in different settings throughout the day, from morning sunrise till sunset. So that gives a good, and of course, if you are getting into cinematography, having a photography background helps. Because if you are trying to shoot lot of pictures, still pictures, to start with, at least your composition technique, your framing, and your usage of colors, characters, placement, everything becomes much more easier. So you start with photography, and then of course, that is the usual thing, even in Pune Film Institute. Initially, we are taught photography. And then only, of course, one moves to the cinematography part. So it's never, cinematography is never isolated in that sense. So if you are very good at photography, the chances that you can become a good cinematographer. So it's a mix of all these elements. And then, of course, the techniques you'll have to develop. There are a lot of techniques which, while handling the camera, and then even in terms of using the lights. These are the techniques which take a little more time. Of course, coming from a film institute or film school background helps, because you do all your experimentation there itself. So when you come to the industry, you're already set almost to get into your independent work. Sometimes you may have to work with somebody in the industry for some time, just to know the ways of the industry. And then you can get into your own independent work. Luckily, I got my break quite fast. I didn't have to wait for too long. So, I almost started working in about 2 years' time. I got my first film. Then, of course, the journey continued. Much later, when I made my own film, I directed and produced one film.
Which film was that?
It's called Parampara. That's in Telugu. That was in 2013 I did that film.
Tell me about it.
That's basically revolving around the father-son relationship, because I was always interested in exploring that particular relationship. What are the various nuances and what kind of relationship changes happen?
Was it your script?
Yes, it was my script only. I had written the script earlier, but then I had many drafts. Finally, in 2013, I got into that. It's a slightly more serious film in that sense, not a very commercial project. So, almost we produced on our own. So, when your returns are not very assured, then it's best to take the risk yourself.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you have a producer, then usually what happens is producer wants the money back as well as possible. So, that is fine, because those are the economics. But if you are doing any different kind of a project, it is better either you get the funding from somewhere else, either the government funding or some other film festival or your own funding, whatever. So that's what I had done in 2013. But then I more or less now moved into film education also. I'm actually with a film school now, the Dada Saheb Phalke School of Film Studies as a dean. So we also teach direction, cinematography. Apart from this Zuppi Media, the production house. So, I am juggling between all these roles.
That is very interesting.
Yeah.
And do you like that?
Yeah, because training a lot of youngsters is always very exciting. Because they come with many interesting ideas. And some of them do not know how to take it to the screen. They are raw, but their ideas are very fresh and quite imaginative in that sense. So, to train them and then put them in a slight kind of a proper way is always a very satisfactory approach. Because I've been associated with this film school for the last 5-6 years. So, we have had many people passing out from the school. Some have done well in the industry. Some have made their own short films and feature film also. So that's a very satisfactory process. At least to mentor the younger generation.
And they don't have any inhibitions. They like to carry out experiments.
Yeah. Hmm? Yeah, and the industry is also a little more open now compared to the earlier times. Earlier it was a little difficult to do any kind of experiment as such. Because producers were very traditional and they were working within a certain system. Everything was structured. You know, so it was very difficult to do any experimentation as such. But now with the advent of digital era in that sense, a lot of cameras have become easy. You can also make a film with iPhone. You can shoot on phones. You can shoot with DSLR cameras. So a lot of it has become much easier as opposed to earlier times when we were only shooting with negative. At that time, cameras were bulky and it was a very costly process. But now it's become, I mean, you can do those high budget films also. At the same time, you can do these shoestring budget.
So, would you advise youngsters to do make films in those iPhones or?
Yeah, initially do all your experimentation in that. Because there is no point in spending a lot of money in terms of getting equipment. See, the latest cameras like Alexa, Red and all those cameras are extremely expensive. So, for doing a regular short film, they are not needed. So, you can actually do it. In fact, in Hollywood also, they made films with iPhone. A full-length feature film. Because it gives a lot more freedom to shoot. You don't have to have that huge unit of 100 members, lights, and cameras and all that. So, you can just get into anywhere and do a lot of interesting shots. That is possible only when your camera is very small or almost hidden. Nobody notices. In fact, people like Anurag Kashyap and all have adopted this technique quite a lot. The guerrilla filmmaking, what they call. As where the camera is placed in some middle of a market or something, nobody notices. And you get very interesting shots like that. And when you're working on low budget, it was always good. In fact, I think Anurag Kashyap in one interview, he said his first film, Black Friday, when he was making, he had to, he didn't have budget obviously, very low budget, shoestring budget he was making. So, when they were shooting in Rajasthan, he wanted some backdrop of some marriage. So, they can't afford, so there was some marriage happening, so they used to place everything there. Whenever the cops come, they run off and again come back to shoot. So, those are the kind of interesting things which can be done now.
So, you are open to the digital world?
Yes. Though I haven't, of course, as far as cinematography is concerned, I was more, with the negative, I was more involved at the time. So, digital era, I didn't do much of work because nowadays I'm restricting more to making, I'm concentrating more on the city media and the corporate films or the training part for the other youngsters. So, per se, I'm not doing camera work now. So, otherwise, yeah, digital is the future. Initially, a lot of people had reservation. In fact, a director like Christopher Nolan, he for a long time resisted making, converting to digital. He went on, he wanted to shoot on film only. He's probably the only filmmaker who is still left. But the last couple of films, he shot on digital only. So, he also shifted in that sense. Initially, when the digital was introduced, the difference was quite a lot in terms of quality. What was possible in the negative and what was possible in digital, there is a lot of difference. But now, almost it is, you can't even make out any difference. And most of the film labs are shut down. There is hardly any lab that exists. Unless you are a very big budget Hollywood filmmaker, they will make a lab for you. That is different. Or produce a film. The negative costing, everything is closed now. It's only the digital. With artificial intelligence and all those new developments which are coming in, the whole filmmaking will go through a lot of changes now.
Do you watch a lot of films, sir?
Lot
of films?
Yes, yes, of course. Because any filmmaker has to watch a lot of films. In Pune Film Institute, we always had this, in fact, before joining Pune, I had done this film appreciation course, which is a 1 month course in Pune.
Yes.
Where you go through all those classics and then there's a lot of discussion. I had done that course also. And then moved on to the actual joined the course. And during the course, of course, every day we had two screenings, every evening, one in the evening, one in the night. Not that we see all the films, but at least 3 years we must have seen close to 700-800 films. So watching films is an important activity for any filmmaker or even a cinematographer in that sense.
And it has continued now also.
Yeah, I do watch, I mean, up to the latest Oppenheimer, everything, I watch all the films. So usually, whether it is a mainstream film or a different project, I do watch all the films. Because that's how you can keep in some kind of contact with what is happening in the world. Not only in India, but what is happening in the world. There are some interesting platforms like Mubi and OTT platforms which exclusively curate all these European films.
So what are your thoughts on OTT?
See, OTT has revolutionized the whole filmmaking techniques as such, because though the budgets are very good compared to earlier television serials, they had to produce a lot of content, daily serials and all that. It was like almost 20 minutes of content in one day shoot. Whereas OTT platforms had the best of both. Though it is you are watching it from home, you still have a very good quality production. And especially during COVID, a lot of people started watching OTT platforms. Earlier it was not so catching up so fast. But during COVID, the 2 years, 3 years period, people have really started watching a lot of OTT projects, whether it is web series or movies or some movies which they have missed out. So it was, I mean, like it, most of the OTT platforms have done very well during that period. In fact, if you look at these Malayalam films, an actor like Fahad Fazil, he has become an OTT star.
Yes.
Because of OTT only, he has become so famous. So, his films, like Malayalam films is a very good example for fresh approach. They take different ideas and then get into small, small ideas which we normally don't think that they would make a film. But they take up those kind of ideas and make very interesting films.
Yes.
So, that has, I think, changed quite a lot. Because now with OTT, every audience, anybody, if you don't hold his attention for 5-10 minutes, he is switched over to another platform. So that has made it much more challenging now. See, earlier it was, you buy a ticket to the theater, you will sit through for 2.5-3 hours. Or else you will maybe walk out only after the interval. Otherwise, they normally don't do it so easily. But OTT has made it so easy. If you calculate per a movie, whatever you are spending, it comes down to some hardly, not even 1 rupee.
No.
So it has become very easy in that sense. And challenging for the filmmakers. Audience, they have a lot of variety
and
now.
And also actors.
Yeah, actors, of course, actors are getting a lot more work. OTT has made it better in that sense. Because they are getting a lot more work. Most of the actors, even middle level actors, we're talking about, maybe not the big stars. But even middle-level actors, they're all booked for 2 years.
Yeah.
Even in Telugu. Any OTT platform. Because they're getting a lot more projects now. It's not only films. And a lot of web series, web movies. Options are empty now. That is there.
Tell us about Dhriti Media now.
See, Dhriti Media, as I said, initially, because I always wanted, I was always interested in advertising and ad films. And making corporate films for companies, and that was one area which I was quite enthusiastic about from the beginning. So when we started this company, initially I was working for a lot of advertising agencies in Hyderabad. That time advertising agencies were mainly the very active, whether it is Mudra, RK Swami, all these agencies. So they used to sort of give the client the entire solution. Be it print, film, or everything. So, in turn, they used to work with producers like us. So that way I had worked with most of the advertising agencies in Hyderabad and most of the public sector, private sector companies. So we were very active at that point of time. So that continued for a long time, whether it is Hyderabad Alvin, BHCL, Nagarjuna Group and all these big companies we had, IDC, all those things we had done. But in between, of course, since I moved over to the film education, there was a break. But now I am making the multimedia work also active. I revamp the whole thing, got some youngsters to work with me. So the whole thing is now again getting back into shape. Of course, COVID had its own ups and downs. A lot of work disruption, both in terms of client spending and in terms of movie making also. There's a lot of issue because the theaters were also shut at the time. But now I think things are more or less back. So
which is the project that you loved doing?
Gautam Buddha was a project which I was very much into because as a character, as a personality, I was always attracted towards Buddha, his teachings and the way he has been able to influence a whole generation of people and different countries also. So that, luckily that project also came to me. I was the DOP for the project. So during that period we had done a lot of research and there was a lot of understanding of about Buddha, his story, his teachings, his journey. So that was a very interesting project for me.
For any project, do you do a lot of research work?
Depends. See, it depends on the actual requirement of the project also. See, if it is an out and out mainstream film, then probably they may not be so much of requirement, you know, because then it's like whatever the director thought of, and sometimes it changes also on the location. And then it's a question of execution. Not too much of an improvisation is possible. Whereas certain projects, you get to do this kind of pre-production work, a lot of research work, which I had done in my earlier projects in Assam. And then later, of course, in films like Gautam Buddha and all, I could do that again.
What was the film about in Assam?
That was about a man-woman relationship. Okay. It was a mainstream film, but we had done a lot of groundwork. It was called Abhiman. So it's about misunderstandings between a wife and husband and what a third person enters, what happens to the whole marriage. And so, but we had done a lot of work in terms of preparatory nature. So a lot of pre-production work, all the shot division was done beforehand. We went to the location, searched for the locations for almost a couple of months before finalizing. So that way, that process was very interesting. So that's why, see, as a cinematographer, though you get that freedom, you will not be entirely free. So that's why I was also interested in doing my own film. All said and done, cinematographer will have to follow a certain blueprint, which is given by the director and also producer's requirements. So you can't go beyond that. Whereas when you're doing, designing your own project, you have a whole lot of other freedom. So I was interested for that reason.
Now, if there is an option that you go back to your mid-20s,
yes.
So what would you choose? You choose to be a cinematographer and an academic person and also somebody doing ad films, corporate films.
I would probably choose to be a director more than anything else because direction is a complete control over whatever you're doing from idea to the screen. So that entire process, director is the father and mother of the project as such. So that possibility will not be there. Others do come in little later. Cinematographer, script writer of course works in the initial phase. He may not be there in the execution of the project. Editor comes in later. But director is the one who is traveling in the entire process from the idea stage till the time it is shown on the screen. So that is a much more fulfilling journey for any director. So, and of course if you are writing your own script, a lot of directors do their own script. Though some directors depend on available scripts.
Sujitri,
of course. Yeah, he has written all his scripts. Though he had adapted some novels and things like that. You know, in the apotrilogy that he adapted from that book. But because that is the kind of ideal, if you look at, because he, being an artist, he was also working in advertising agency as an artist at the time. So he had complete control over the whole thing. And then he used to do the storyboard, and he knows exactly what he's shooting. Though he was working with the first-time cinematographer, Subrata Mitra, the first film. But he exactly knows what he wants. So he was very confident that Subrata Mitra actually never handled a camera before that. He was only into photography. So cinematography wise, he never handled a camera, but he had come up with the best possible work. Pathe Panchali and even later films. So that way, being a director, you have a complete control over the entire system, which is not possible elsewhere.
I see many young boys and girls, they want to, after 12, they want to study something.
Yeah.
They want to join the film, they want to study film studies, then they want to be a cinematographer, a director, everything.
Yeah.
And they are also looking at easy money, how easily they can earn.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yes.
What would you advise them?
See, it requires a little more patience. The problem with maybe today's generation, because they are a little more impatient. The main problem is that, because they want to just make a very fast, they want to make their own film so fast, without really doing the groundwork or experimentation. You do a few short films, you will get that kind of an experimentation done. Or even just to develop your own script, it takes time. It's not that overnight you can write a script. You'll have to go through, there are directors who have done so many versions of the scripts, so many drafts before they finalize. Sometimes it is 8, 9, 10 drafts before they actually zero down on the final draft. The today's generation, obviously, because of the kind of exposure that they have and the digital age, because anything you can see on the film, anything on the phone itself, you can watch the entire world, what is happening. So they also have access to so much of technology. So you can't blame them. At the same time, there is that level of impatience which has come in. So they think, I mean, some new technique comes, they can adapt immediately. So the initial foundation probably is not very strong, which they have to spend a little more time on that. I'll say that maybe they should spend more time in, say, reading. Book reading is almost gone now. Nobody reads any book anymore. I mean, they read a book on the phone or on tab. They don't have that habit of reading books, which is what actually develops your visualization part. When you read a book, you can visualize how you want to do it. So that process starts off. Suddenly, if you want to just get into, take a camera and start shooting, it is not possible that way. So get into this process. Though you can't convince them now in that sense, but you try to arrive at best of both.
So as a teacher, as a parent, we have to do something for the children. We have to make the difference. I mean,
So of course,
we have to make the way so that they get to know everything.
Yes. Okay. I mean, develop this habit of, maybe I would say the best would be getting back to reading again. So, they have stopped reading as such. That is the best help that can happen actually to anybody. And I, of course, watch a lot of films. They do watch films. Because of easy availability, most of the youngsters watch all kinds of films. Whether it is Hollywood films or Indian films. They have a very good exposure to all the films that are happening all over the world. But still, if you don't have this foundation strong, all that watching is not going to help you.
No.
So, if you develop your own ideas, then watch these films, how those people have done these ideas. The idea is the primary thing. If you don't have the idea, just the technique is not going to help. So, that's where I think probably the youngsters actually concentrate more on the technique today. More of the technology part than the content.
Right.
There are people, of course, who are, as I said earlier, Malayalam films is a classic example, where technology is also decently used, but content is very strong. Their idea is extremely strong. They don't have stars acting. I mean, most of them you probably haven't seen earlier in any other films. So that way, I think that is one example where it has really tried to bring a very good balance between content and technology as such.
Who's your favorite actor?
Actor, I would say Manoj Bajpayee, probably. Mm-hmm. Yes. Manoj Bajpayee is extremely, is a very good actor.
Tell us about your family, sir.
I have, my wife is also an actress, actually. Mm. So she had...
She does Telugu movies?
No, she was actually doing mostly television earlier.
Mm-hmm.
She also did some film, but not mainstream film. Mm. She was also into more serious kind of film. So she had done a few Kannada films also.
Mm-hmm.
She, I mean, some of the Nandis are hers also, not only mine. Mostly hers actually. Mine is on this side. She won a lot of Nandi
Awards. The Wall of Fame.
Yeah. So she, of course, we met in a shoot also. That is how we got married. Then
it was a finance film or a
It was a Telugu television series actually. That's why. So she is, of course, she was very choosy. She was not doing too many projects, you know, all the while. So the project is very interesting, she does, otherwise she doesn't do. So she had done some, quite a few projects, but after off late, she's not done much of work. My son, of course, is not into this field, because he wanted to pursue his own mechanical engineering, then he went to US, he's into solar, in the field now.
Mm.
He's working there. So he has never shown real interest to come into this field. So obviously whatever is his interest, we would like to sort of pursue that. But he is quite happy with what he is doing. So that's important.
So
my brothers and all are of course into different fields. They are into banking, one is the management, school, and so my father was a lawyer. So I am the only one who is into this creative.
And what did you say when you chose the creative field?
Initially, my father obviously never was happy with this. Because from Rajahmundry, suddenly if I had moved on to this, he was not very happy about, because he thought films is a very unstable field as such. Because he, being a lawyer, he wanted somebody to become a lawyer from the children. So he was not very happy initially, but later of course he supported my decision and that was fine actually.
Nice. Now we have come to the end of our chat.
Yeah.
Unfortunately now we have to wind up.
Yeah.
So for our viewers, a message from you.
See viewers can consist of a whole lot of different generations. It can be youngsters, it can be elderly people, a whole lot of other audience are there. But I would say if one is interested in this field, explore all the available formats. You know, be it a documentary, be it a feature film, be it any other web series, or be it an Indian film, Hollywood film or European film. Explore all the variety of films before coming to a conclusion that I don't like this, I like this. That is a kind of final conclusion that they come to.
Yeah.
But before that, expose yourself to whole variety of filmmakers. There are quite a few. See, European films are totally different from Hollywood films.
Yeah.
And they are very different from Indian films also. Though we have some association with Japanese, other Asian countries. But other European countries have a different tale to tell. They were mostly affected by the Second World War.
Yeah.
Their stories revolve around that, the trauma that they went through. So one has to expose himself to all these varieties before fixing that this is the kind of area that I would like to focus on. So that's what I would tell viewers, to be open and look at all the possible stories, films before arriving at your own conclusion. Whether you are a filmmaker or a film audience, doesn't matter.
And watch more films.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.